The Sea Grant Files, fresh news about fresh water.
Hi, I'm Olivia Daler, and you're listening to The Sea Grant Files. Lush, lawyer, ling, mudblow, eel pout, poor man's lobster, these are all nicknames for the deep water inhabitant of the Great Lake Superior, the burbot fish. Burbot, or lotalota, from the French word for codfish, can be found in most of Minnesota's northern lakes and rivers and has made its way as far south as Mississippi. Native to all five of the Great Lakes, burbot can live to be 15 to 20 years old and can weigh up to 60 pounds in other areas of the world. In Minnesota, the largest burbot on record was pulled from Lake of the Woods. Larger than the average Thanksgiving turkey, it weighed a whopping 19 pounds, 3 ounces. However, the typical burbot found in Minnesota is under 8 pounds and less than 28 inches long. A, let us say, quirky-looking fish in appearance, burbot resemble an eel more so than any other freshwater fish. These slimy fish are mostly accidental byproducts of a fishing trip for walleyes. Anglers who haven't handled burbot before are often surprised when the fish uniquely, but harmlessly, wrap themselves around his or her forearm. Burbot are not actively managed in Minnesota, nor do they have special conservation status, but they are celebrities around this neck of the woods, especially in the winter. Folks near Walker, Minnesota likely know this freshwater codfish as the eel pout. For the past 36 years, crowds upwards of 5,000 have gathered on Leech Lake in Walker, Minnesota, for 3 days in February to celebrate this peculiar-looking fish and attempt to bring up the largest burbot through the ice. The International Eel Pout Festival was ranked 13th on the top 15 weird Minnesotan festivals you never knew existed. The eel pout really is something to celebrate for many reasons, one of which is its uniqueness in mating. Burbot spawning ritual is a rare sight, but those who have witnessed it note its almost mythical qualities. In early February, burbot migrate from deep water into shallow, muddy areas and sandy shoals to spawn. They then conglomerate into a single moving cluster of 10 to 100 bodies moving in and out of a living sphere, releasing eggs and spawn. Famous Northwoods naturalist Sigurd Olsen happened upon the burbot spawning spectacle through an open patch of ice and described it as, "We saw such a sight as few have ever seen. A struggling, squirming mass of fish, the long brownish snaking bodies twisting around each other, the entire contorted mass turning over and over, beating the water into a foam." During this time of the year, the song of the burbot is most frequently sung. I'll save myself the embarrassment of an impersonation of the noise. Instead, you'll have to listen carefully to this deep water recording of a burbot singing a love song. A revving motorcycle? The drumming of a ruffed grouse? Nope. That's a burbot as recorded under the ice by researcher Dr. Peter Cott from the Department of Fisheries and Oceans Canada. These under-ice acoustic signals are produced when burbot rapidly contract drumming muscles on their swimming bladders. Vocal calls are thought to be vitally important to the burbot because their visual cues are limited by the lack of light under the ice. However, this has never been before documented because of the difficulty seeing or hearing beneath thick ice. When they're not busy churning water, burbot are among the top predators in the food chain. Researchers have found smelt, bloater, nine-spined sticklebacks, perch, lake trout, fish eggs, and various crustaceans in the bellies of burbot collected in Lake Superior. However, burbot largely prey on sculpin, which are known to eat lake trout eggs. In return, bass, smelt, lake trout, and muskies eat burbot. Smelt, yellow perch, and other small fish may snatch up a young burbot if they aren't careful. Burbot also make a great catch for humans. Its meat contains plenty of omega-3, fatty acids, and vitamin D. Burbot's vitamin-rich liver is held high in the eyes of French connoisseurs, either made into a pâté or poached in white wine. Burbot soup was even included in Leo Tolstoy's novel Anna Karenina as a dish fit for royalty. The meat of the burbot is cod-like too. When boiled in sugar water and dipped in butter, Burbot is said to taste similar to lobster, hence the nickname Poor Man's Lobster. Your taste buds and body will thank you for serving up Burbot. The discovery of Burbot liver oil was made right here in Minnesota in the 1920s by Ted and Joe Rowell, commercial fishermen on Lake of the Woods. They used Burbot as feed on Joe's fox farm and noticed the quality of the fox's fur had actually improved. They then extracted some liver oil and found that Burbot has 6 to 8 times the potency in vitamin A and D than quality grades of cod liver oil. The Rowells founded Burbot Liver Products Company, which later became Rowell Laboratories Incorporated of Bedette, Minnesota. Unlike elsewhere, Lake Superior Burbot populations have remained relatively stable. Integrated Biosciences graduate student at the University of Minnesota Duluth, an American Fisheries Society member, Trevor Keeler, told us that a decline of Burbot occurred in the 1950s. He said, "Due to sea lamprey, the Burbot and lake trout populations crashed. After the 60s and the control of sea lamprey, both populations have recovered significantly. However, because of the relationship between trout and Burbot, the relationship being that trout eat juvenile Burbot, lake trout are recovering rapidly and Burbot lag behind a bit. But Burbot populations, especially in Lake Superior, are stable and no one's really concerned. Especially in offshore deep water spots, the Burbot are doing just fine," he said. "They are the messiest fish I've ever studied, and our tanks were covered with slime from them, but they sure were tasty," Keeler added. Burbot population stability can't be matched in other Great Lakes. A possible explanation for this stability in Lake Superior may be that the non-native alewives, herring species, haven't had a robust population in Lake Superior due to the hungry, cold-water lake trout. Extensive efforts to control the non-native parasitic sea lamprey may also be a contributing factor. Burbot are listed as a rough fish, meaning that there are no restrictions on fish size or on bag limit. So, poor man's lobster could find its way onto your dinner table quite often if you're lucky. They've got a face only a mother could love, and more slime than the lettuce you forgot about in the back of your refrigerator. But Burbot, how fascinating. This episode of the Sea Grant Files was produced by Olivia Daler, Sharon Mohn, and Maya Jensen. For more information or to listen to other episodes of the Sea Grant Files, visit the Minnesota Sea Grant website at www.seagrant.umn.edu. You can also follow the Minnesota Sea Grant on Facebook or Twitter. Thanks for listening.